Okay, it is two in the afternoon. We're going to call this meeting to order. Welcome to this Los Alamos County Board of County Commissioners special meeting. Today is October 26, 2023, and it is 2 p.m. I'm going to ask for you to rise to have the invocation given by Commissioner Luis Lopez and the Pledge of Allegiance by Commissioner Tony Haas. Please join me on that.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day as we gather to do the Lord's work. We ask you to protect our firefighters as we discuss some future fundings for them and for the capabilities of protecting the community that we serve. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to protect your beautiful forests and your waterways for the community that we are in. In your heavenly name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, commissioners. Roll call, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner Luis Lopez.
Here.
Commissioner Haas.
Here.
Commissioner Felix Lopez.
I'm here. Approval of the agenda. Do we have any changes to the agenda? That would be for Mr. Dorenkamp or Mr. Richards.
No changes, Commissioner, from my end.
Okay.
None, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. I will entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Move for approval of the agenda.
Second the motion.
Mr. Luis Lopez.
Yes.
Mr. Haas.
Yes.
Mr. Felix Lopez.
Yes, and this is a public hearing. We are going to be considering a 2A consideration.
Commissioner,
sir?
That is titled wrong. This should be new business.
Thank you, Mr. Dorenkamp. I will, as far as the agenda, then approval of the agenda with the correction of new business rather than public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Haas?
Yes.
Mr. Felix Lopez?
Yes. So item 2A under new business, consideration of Colorado Wildlife Prevention Program grant application. Topic of conversation, thank you so much for all the work that has been gone into this. Mr. Richards, I think I'm going to probably go to through you to give us a landscape, or Mr. Dorenkamp, one of the two of you, to kind of set in motion the foundation of this conversation. So, Mr. Richards.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, commissioners, and board members. Good afternoon. I think we'll just keep it as brief and simple as possible. This grant request that we're going to apply for is simply to create a plan to incorporate the whole county in a CWPP wildlife mitigation plan. So we've, with all the work of the people who helped put this massive document together in such a short period of time, I do say thank you. And with that, if you've had a chance to review the document, it kind of outlines the status of the county, a budget to attack this issue with, and a solution when we get in how we're going. The plan will give us an opportunity of how to implement a countywide mitigation plan, taking in consideration all the different terrains and fuel types in the county. So with that, I'll turn it over for any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Richards. As I read the proposed application, I have a couple of questions here. On one of the sections, and I just want to clarification purposes, Los Alamos County Emergency Manager will oversee the project with mapping administrative support from the Los Alamos County Assessor Office and County of the Administrative Staff. And then you're talking about in the project, the proposed project, to have 10 to 12 meetings throughout the county. My question and clarification for this group would be, are those meetings going to be prior to you selecting the consultant or post-consultant meetings?
It'll probably be post-consultant meetings because we'll have to advertise requests for consultants. in a competitive bid process, and then we would implement the program.
Thank you, sir. And then again, as you mentioned, Mr. Richards, I want to extend a sincere thanks to all the community partners that you have listed in here and all the hard work that went into that very well-drafted document. My only other question that I have here is the hours. The project will be completed in 16 months following a three-step process similar to that used to create the 2022 Los Angeles County Hazard Mitigation Plan. Is there, and I would imagine that we can ask for a no-cost extension if needed, but I believe, how do you come up with a 16-month completion of this particular program?
Well, Penny can probably go to that in more detail, but we figured it would take 12 to 18 months to complete the plan. I'm not sure the duration, Penny. You might know how long we have to complete this. I don't think it's just 18 months. Is there a cap on the time limit?
There's a five-year cap
it's on quite a
completing
while.
It. But a year to 18 months is rather standard for putting one of these plans together.
Thank you, Penny. And again, it does say in the program that within 5 years, you will review this. It's going to be a living document, which is it's going to provide the opportunity for the public and the partners and the plan to evolve as the county evolves as well. So thank you for that clarification. My fellow commissioners, let me yield the floor back to you. Those were my questions.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. Mr. Richards, Penny, thank you for being here today. And Julie, I see you're on the call. The hours that will be put in by Emergency Management, Mr. Richards, is stated at 600 hours. You think that's going to be enough over this time frame? And will that be enough allowing you to continue with your other duties as Emergency Manager once this project starts, Mr. Richards?
Yes, Commissioner, I'm looking at it right now as I'm still part-time. So this would be in addition to whatever time BOCC gives me in the future. And that time would be compensated. The county would be compensated for the use of my time. Barring any major catastrophe, it shouldn't interfere whatsoever. But, time will tell. And the upside is if we have to have a pause because of an incident or some other kind of demand on my time, we're not locked into, X amount of time to have this done.
Okay. And then I think it was another area in the application that mentioned exactly that sentiment that you are a part-time employee. Is that necessary to have that in the application, in the discussion to the project? Is it necessary to have it in there? Does it really help receiving more funding because of that fact, or does it hurt us if we were to omit it?
I think we had a consultant take a look at it. Penny can enter that. And the other thing is, I think we're two things. One, I think we have to be factual in our presentation for this grant. Number two is we are applying for a waiver to waive the 10% on top of that. So if they see that we are, struggling a little bit financially, hopefully that'll put them over the top. But Penny, you might want to have a comment on that too.
Well, obviously, Commissioner Lopez, it's a line that we're walking between having the capacity to complete the project and the need. But I think it speaks to exactly what Mr. Richards says. We have a lot of risk and not a lot of resources, and this will help us deal with both those issues.
Thank you both. Appreciate it. That's all the questions I have, Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner Luis Lopez. Commissioner Tony Haas.
None for me. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it.
Mr. Dorenkamp, did you have any concerns? I'm sorry, Commissioner Chairman.
No, that's fine.
Just kind of adding to what you had mentioned, but I noticed there's a number of areas where it's mentioned that the terrain ranges from mountainous terrain to a short grass prairie, it almost seems, and again, I'm nitpicking here, that by just leaving the eastern plains as described as short grass prairie, that it perhaps doesn't actually portray what's actually out there, because there's a whole lot of juniper and pinyon that my experience with the fires that have happened out there blow up, for lack of a better description. So I'm not sure that it may not help by including juniper and pinyon in those areas where you describe the eastern part of the county as short grass prairie. But again, I'm nitpicking.
No, I think it's a good point. However, I think the way the leaning is towards fuel in any fire, they're really not making a differentiation between grass versus timber. So it might be a moot point. But Penny, you might have a comment because you've had some talks with the consultant on this.
Well, I agree that the terrain is varied. I mean, on my property, I have everything from grasslands to aspen on just 100 acres. But I think we address that in the main description of the project when we say that it starts at short grass prairies and then runs through pinyon juniper, ponderosa, spruce and fir, and then on up into aspen and alpine. It's hard to characterize any particular region specifically to be one or the other. We could insert some language in there if you want us to. We're butting right up against the very limit of characters that they allow. These grants are very specific about how many words and punctuation marks and spaces you can have, but we could probably add something if you we could say something about it being varied in all zones or something like that if you think that needs to be done.
I rely upon your expertise. I'm just making comments.
Well, and I think Joe is right. Mr. Richards is right. Our consultants who are specialists in this field have told us that the newest way that people are looking at forest fires is that every fuel type is being dealt with in basically the same way, because as we've seen from the Marshall Fire and the Hawaiian fires and many other fires, if you've got stuff growing, no matter what it is, whether it's grass or trees or shrubs or junipers or aspen, there's the possibility for a devastating fire.
And I think a big part of this plan, commissioners, if I may be so bold, Lahaina, for example, I was a contractor in Hawaii there for many years, and I know the area real well. And the terrain was changing from time to time. They actually used to harvest the cane fields by setting them on fire. I mean, it was amazing how the blaze went on. However, the climate has changed, and it's done. And they did not make that transition in their planning. And I think this is a critical part of if something bad happens, that we're at least making an attempt to correct it, and we're not just sitting by and saying, you know, let's see what happens. So I think it's a critical part that we at least have the plan in place. And it opens up about $10 million worth of grant money to do the mitigation. So there's some teeth to getting this thing passed that could help us down the road.
If I can interrupt you all, we have a group of young people from the Primero School District that wanted to be on the call today. Apparently they didn't get the link, so I've invited them. You can see a few of them here.
Hello.
Welcome. And if I, a few more comments here.
Go ahead, Mr. Dornkamp.
And Mr. Dornkamp, I just wanted to acknowledge that when I go back in to click submit, I can see if there's room to include that, an additional sentence to get there, because I'll be back in there anyways. So.
Again, I don't know that it's necessary. You folks are much more familiar with these grants than I am, just being an outside observer and reading the document. Just a few comments.
Yep.
I will continue if I can. Adding, continuing with what Commissioner Luis Lopez had commented on page 9, which page 7 of the document of the packet, commissioners, where it does list that LSE's emergency manager is only 20 hours a week. I mean, there's just the one sentence that states that. And if I'm on the receiving end of this grant application and I'm reviewing it, I may have the mindset that, well, Los Angeles County must not be too concerned about this plan and wildfire protection, because if they were, this employee would be a full-time employee. And maybe I'm reading way too much into that, but Joe had mentioned it being factual. Well, leaving it out, in my opinion, isn't not being factual. It's just omitting something, the same as the juniper and pinion out east are admitted. But that's just, again, my comment. Take it for what it's worth. And then let me see, I've got another one or two. Page 9, same page, but first paragraph, where it talks about 14,300, this would be page 7 of your packet, 14,327 residents in a population density of 3 residents per square mile. I know one of the buzzwords that is being thrown around quite often for rural counties that can be labeled such is a frontier county. So maybe, again, nitpicking, throw frontier county in there.
Yeah, I don't see any reason we can't do that. Do you, Julie Penny?
No. What context is frontier county used in? It's like social services or equity or?
No, I think, Julie, what a frontier county is defined based on the density of residents per square mile.
Okay.
And so we meet that definition automatically. They all know that. And that'll create equity. I think it'll be implied by providing that frontier county. It is the population density that will basically drive the whole conversation there.
You know what website I would go to? They seem to be really into us providing a link to back up any stats or statements we provide.
Yeah, we might have, Mr. Dorenkamp might have, since we write so many grants, basically the link to that. And we will do some research and send it to you.
Okay, literally just the web page where it would be described somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
You would have that someplace accessible, Mr. Dorenkamp?
I can find it, I'm guessing.
Yes.
And out of curiosity, page 8 of the packet, page 9 of the application. Just underneath the number 9, the paragraph, creating a countywide CWPP offers a unique opportunity to create resilient landscapes, encourage fire-adapted communities, and recommended safe. I'm not understanding what that comment is trying to portray. And again, please don't throw eggs at me.
That sounds maybe like a typo, or yes. We may have run out of words because I was pasting new stuff in and maybe lower stuff got erased. But can you remind me exactly where that is again?
Julie, it's in section 9, the project description. And good catch, Mr. Dorenkamp, that this was a last minute change that we made to improve the language there. And it isn't inserted quite correctly. So would you like me to try to find the language that we're going to put in there, or can we just shoot that to you? I have it here in one of these.
I think
one of these pages.
I think if the board decides to adopt or to approve this submission, they can qualify it by what we're talking about now, that language will be included to portray whatever it is you want to portray. And again, please, I apologize because ask the staff that reviews my end, case in point, on the agenda today, public hearing instead of new business, I'm not beyond making a whole lot of errors.
I made a mistake once.
And I think Julie or Penny, as you go through the process, you know, that would be the resiliency is by basically addressing what is a common term nowadays, you know, the environmental justice of neglect for so many years as you go through that on that particular paragraph that Mr. Durenkamp was making reference to.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I just think it's noteworthy, too, that, you know, by implementing and getting this plan, it's not going to do nothing but help our constituents. And, you know, insurance, for example, is going to be harder and harder to come by. My little place, we pay like over $4,000 a year, you know, insurance on our property, and we're fortunate to get it. So my neighbors, their insurance companies have dropped them, and it's because they don't have a plan. So I think it's real important that this goes through and be benefit for the county.
Chairman, if I may.
Go ahead, Commissioner Lopez.
I'm going to ask the question I think Phil was going to ask maybe on the contractual amount. How do you guys come up with that number, dollar number of the $80 per hour? Is that something you've discussed with other contractors in the area? Is that the standard rate? And is that going to be enough?
I contacted JEO that did our hazard mitigation plan that we approved. That was a FEMA requirement, which is like a 35,000 foot view of what we're talking about here and now. What we're doing now is a little more sophisticated. They indicated their guesstimate was in the $125,000 to $130,000 range. So we kind of bumped it to make sure we have a coverage, but it is a guesstimate to some degree. I know Penny and Julie have done some talking to other folks about this. Would you guys like to comment about that?
It's a pretty standard rate. If we're able to hire someone for less than that, then obviously that would slide down and give us more hours. But that's a pretty standard consultant rate. And I think we had all agreed that we didn't want to go over the $200,000 mark, considering what all we wanted to do. So we felt that was the sweet spot. And we were advised to create just one contractual pot so that potentially we may hire a facilitator who is from one company and a GIS analysis person who's from another company. That could all come out of that one pot, but we were advised to just keep it simple and create one pot for now.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner, a lot of it has to do too. I talked to the county assessor, and if all our GIS information is compatible with all the documents, then the cost will go down. But it's always easy to get money back. It's hard, like you said, it's hard to ask for more. So we're there.
Okay. I apologize there, Chairman.
No, thank you, sir. That's great. And, you know, my question was kind of a follow-up question was going to be, how many of these grants through the USDA have been awarded to groups such as this one?
On the first round, and everyone correct me if I'm wrong, there was 39 applications put in. Only one was approved. Oh, wow. It has a lot to do with language and terminology and completeness, and which I think we've accomplished here. I did talk to Teller County, the emergency manager there. They did get approved. I think they're the second one, but they actually got turned down the first time. And then some strings were pulled and they ended up with it. And we got a copy of their grant request to us. And ours is so superior. I don't mean to put them down at all, but the group here has done just a tremendous job of making this document look well. And I know Penny and Julie, they had some people look at this from Paul and others. Would you comment on what their comments were?
Sure. We had two people that are deeply involved in creating CWPPs an official capacity. So Paul Branson, who is the Colorado State Forest Service regional, Julie, do you remember his exact title? mitigation specialists, I believe, but his job is to help people put these plans together and to help put these grants together. And he has been on the review committees for this federal grant. And he said that this is an excellent proposal. We also have run it past Jonathan Bruno from Collaboratives and Coalitions. He also works on this particular issue, in particular CWPPs and forest mitigation in specifically. And he told me he was extremely impressed with this application. Paul Branson also indicated that it was clear that we knew exactly what we were talking about, that we could actually be writing these plans ourselves because we are knowledgeable about the components of a plan and mitigation, what mitigation looks like. And so we've gotten nothing but wonderful feedback. And we should note that this is the first round where CWPP applications are being accepted. The last year's federal process involved mitigation programs themselves. So this is after you have a CWPP and you've created a project list, then you can go back and seek funding to accomplish those projects that were defined in your CWPP. Last year, they did not have an arm of funding specifically for CWPPs. That wasn't something you could apply for. So this is they got so much feedback from across the country that said, wait, we can't get any of your money without a CWPP. We need money to put a CWPP together. And so this is the first round of that funding that is being offered. And so we have really no idea what kind of success rate there will be.
I see the students in the background here taking notes. Could you please give them what CWPP stands for, so their topic of discussion?
Sure. Do you want me to do that?
Go ahead, Penny.
A CWPP is a Community Wildfire Protection Plan. There are standards that the Colorado State Forest Service sets up that define what has to be in a community wildfire protection plan. But basically it looks at what are your assets, what kind of capabilities do you have to fight fires? What are your challenges? What needs to be done to make your community safer, and what needs to be done to protect your assets? And by assets, I mean everything from the electrical grid to our water treatment plant, to our state parks, to your home and my home. So a community wildfire protection plan puts all the data together, identifies where the risks are, and most importantly, comes up with an action plan that can be used to increase the safety of everyone in our county.
Thank you, Mrs. Beaver.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And you know what, Mr. Dorenkamp, I know you have your hand up. Let me extend, first of all, I want to thank this group, because when I read this grant, I was very, very pleased that the information is there. If I were one of the grant reviewers, I think the plan outlines what you're looking for, what is it that the community needs. And so I appreciate the work that went into. But I'm going to ask the students, because, you know, seldom we get a young group of students that get involved with the civics and the down in the ground of what happens at this level of county government. So let me extend to them an invitation. Would any one of you would like to ask a question of any one of us, the grant writers, or the process? And thank you for being here.
Not all at once, please.
Ask them one of the grant. Well, I have to give you all the answers. What did you write down?
The Sebastian and then Paul Branson.
Okay. So how did they meet these people that helped them with the grant?
How did you guys meet the people like Paul Branson and Jonathan Bruno who helped with your grants?
Penny, why don't you take that?
That's a great question. the group started with an effort by the Stonewall Fire Protection or the Stonewall Fire Protection District and the fire chief Lloyd Holloman's desire to put together a community wildfire protection plan for his organization. Sorry, I got distracted. When you put a community wildfire protection plan together, you have to work with the Colorado State Forest Service. That's a requirement of putting a community wildfire protection plan together. So that's how we connected with Paul. Julie and I connected over other issues and around wildfire. And I just happened to be asked to sit in on a Zoom call with Julie and Jonathan Bruno. And he was actually the one that convinced us that we had a really good shot at getting this grant funded and convinced us to put it together. So I guess networking is the short answer. You know, you get like-minded people together in a room and then you start reaching out to the people that everyone in that room knows that can be of help. And we're really good at knowing what we don't know and bringing in the people who do know that to help us. Julie, do you have anything to add?
I think I would add that this went so smoothly with our partnership because we had already been building partnerships and relationships for some time before this event. So we weren't just meeting each other for the first time, just trying to figure out how we all work together right when this grant started. So it's been a huge investment of relationship building and collaboration well before this grant opportunity came up.
Yes, at least 10 years. There's a 10-year background in this process.
And I think it's important for you young people to know that this was a community effort. This is not a government-driven thing. This was a neighborhood, community-driven result. So it's just important to know that you can be an impact just one person at a time. It's very, very important that you stay engaged with your community. And if there's something you see that's not right or something you need to fix, you know, speak up and then get together, and together we can fix everything.
And keep going. Don't give up. Don't take no for an answer.
any other question from the students?
We do have another question.
Yes. Could we have you guys or Paul Branson and Jonathan Bruno come to our community expo at our school so that we can ask them more questions?
Yeah, when is it?
The December 4th.
December 4th. Great. I'm sure one of us can be there for sure.
We specifically talk about drought resilience, remember?
The expo is specifically, like, it's about the water of Colorado and resiliency, and multiple different groups in our class are making different presentations to, like, show what we're doing for this and what we need to do. So.
Great.
This is fantastic. So thank you so much, students. And anytime you may have a question, please reach out to the county. You have a contact, reach out to any one of the electeds. But once again, I think the cornerstone of this conversation has been that this is from the community up, getting the support of the, not only of every one of the residents, but just the partnership and collaboration that has existed here. Julie, you have your hand up.
Yes, I had a question for the students. Do they know what happens if the cell phone towers burn in a fire and your cell phones don't work anymore? Do you know what the backup plan is for that?
Would it be the NOAA radios system?
It might be, and that's part of what we'll be working on with this CWPP is figuring out the backup plan so everybody knows what to do in an emergency. So I just wanted to connect you personally with this plan of how it might affect you.
Sweet. Well, may I say something too? I'd like to invite them if the grant is funded and the plan is starting to take shape. It's critical that we have stakeholders from all over the county, and you are stakeholders. So we invite you young people to participate in this plan's development.
That would be great.
You know, as I was thinking, Penny, as you're speaking on that particular topic, when I mentioned one of my first questions, you know, to have all this community, the community meetings that are going to take place, invite the group of young students to travel, basically so they can understand and hear what happens at a public meeting, what is the feedback. I think that would be intrinsically important, but more than anything else, see how the plan came up from today up to where it could be. So thank you for that. And at this point in time, if there are no more questions, let me go back to Mr. Doran Cat.
We have one more question, sir.
What do we do to let the community know about our plans for resilience and what we're doing to protect the water in Colorado?
We should ask you that question. You guys are in social media whizzes. We're not. So.
Well, I haven't seen anything on social media. So.
Chairman, if I may, why don't we formally invite you students from Primero School District to attend one of our board meetings when you're on your Christmas break, if we have one during that time, or see what our schedule looks like. And we'd love to hear from you. Put you in our chambers and hear a presentation of what you guys are doing for this purpose. And hopefully that can be the start of some local media attention on your behalf of our students from Primero.
We have a meeting on December 19th.
Well, we can create a work session specifically and invite, that way we can have a one single topic, or ask him to do a presentation. So we'll get the details back to you on that. But thank you for all the questions that you have. And continue to stay engaged, ask questions, raise your hand, and because you are the future of all of us. So thank you. Thank you for being here.
Let me thank go back to Mr. Doran Cap.
Thank you.
Section 15 of the document, be page 13, commissioners, of your packet. The paragraph just below the five on the left-hand side, static documents tend to be short-lived. The LAC CWPP will be a living document reviewed and revised at regular print, five-year in-print intervals to better meet evolving requirements. I'm going to guess it's going to be Los Angeles County's ball to carry every 5 years to bring this document back to life and see what needs to be revised. And I've never seen one of these plans. Can you kind of, and maybe no one else has either, but can you give me kind of an idea of what might be reviewed and revised?
Penny, I think this is a good one for you.
Okay, yeah, I can speak to this. It's blurry. This is, I held in my hands the Stonewall Fire Protection District wildfire plan. It's about 300 pages. And basically it looks at every community in the western part of the county that is in the Stonewall Fire District and comes up with the risk that is there. What are the conditions on the ground? What does the ground cover look like? What do the forests look like? Where is it the densest? But probably the part that is referred to when you're looking at revising it is, first of all, did you complete any mitigation tasks that were defined in your first document? Those get crossed off the list. And then, did you have any additional challenges thrown at you? So in my opinion, the most important part of this document is what I call the punch list. It's just the task of mitigation projects that you define throughout the project or throughout the plan that need to be accomplished to improve everyone's safety and the safety of our water system, like these young people are talking about, and all of our infrastructure. So when you're looking at revising it, you're not talking about another $200,000 plan. You're talking about just saying, what have we achieved so far? What's still on the list? What do we need to add to the list because this has changed? And that keeps the document vital and current and important and useful. Did that answer your question, Mr. Dorenkamp?
It does.
Yes, it would be the county, just like your hazmat plan is recommended to be updated on a regular basis. This is kind of an extended hazmat plan or hazardous mitigation plan. It's kind of an extended, it's taking one section of your hazards and expanding it to an entire document, but same process.
Do you think, dealing with these emergency operation plans for years, do you think, Mr. Richards, we can possibly amend our emergency operation plan and insert that in that so it's annually or every so many years updated anyway? And that would have to be brought, any updates or change in the plan that Ms. Bieber just stated would be on the responsibility of the CWPP group here and implement any of those punch list changes, and then the board adopt them.
As far as the hazard mitigation plan that we already approved, is that what you're speaking to?
The annual emergency operation plan that we have in place at a county level, could we just add this as an amendment to that? Is there any statutes that may prohibit us from that? I don't know. But that's something for down the road to consider. I don't think it's something for going to discussion today, but it might be looked at as an amendment to our emergency operation plan with this now new, if it is approved today, part of our living document.
Yeah, how that looks, I'm not sure yet, Commissioner. We got a lot going on here, but what I do want to emphasize, I think just because we're not a wealthy community, there's no reason we can't be a leader. And I really believe this document will, once it gets submitted, I'm confident it will be approved. And I think it's going to be a light for the rest of the county, rest of the state and how it's to be done. It does also open up doors to other communities who want to piggyback on us. Maybe they have a project that's not in our CWPP but still is grant worthy, that they can piggyback on us saying, yes, we're following the Los Alamos County CWPP, and here's what we want to do on top of that. So
the reason I mention it is because in 5 years, probably none of us are going to be here. And we'll have new boards come on, but we'll still have the need for the CWPP and those documents to be revised. So I would rather, if you folks look into incorporating that once we move forward today, if we make that decision here shortly, of making that some sort of annual, biannual, or every, whatever we do, I think every 2 years for the emergency operation plan updates, incorporate that. And so commissioners of the future don't have to forget or trip on it and then, oops, what do we do now? So it is embedded into some sort of structure for the county. Now, it may not be the emergency operation plan. I don't know exactly where it needs to go, but I think we should really look at researching that for the future.
Agreed.
Thank you. Mr. Dornkamp, you had your hand up.
I was just going to ask a point of clarification from Penny. So this revision would not require Los Alamos County to engage a consultant at $100,000. This is something that we could do in-house. And as a matter of fact, probably the best thing to do is, as the punch list gets done, we just go ahead and punch it at that time. Am I understanding how this typically works correctly?
I would say there is no typical. Many agencies, fire districts and counties, put a plan together and never update it. Our 5-year, 10-year, update is really a best case scenario. The federal monies aren't available if your plan is over 10 years old. Whether you actually do it or not, it's not like it's absolutely legally required. It's just in your best interest to do it so that it continues to be a living document and so that funding is available for you.
Yeah, and okay, thank you. I want to go back to Commissioner Luis Lopez's comments. It's going to be kind of a strategic plan. I've working at the college for many years, at the strategic plan that we had on a 5-year document, year one, we did this, yes. And the ones, some of the items that were not achieved, we moved them to year two and so on. So I think this is, I really appreciate that. The 12 recognized municipalities, I would imagine once this gets approved, they will get a copy, invited to participate. So everyone is, as you know, per the student's recommendation, is the more inclusive this document is, the broader the understanding of the community and the entire county. So let me extend one more opportunity. Are there any other questions? Otherwise, if no other questions remain, yes, Commissioner.
I have one last question.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Go ahead. I'll wait.
Just to make sure legal counsel has an opportunity to chime in regarding reviewing this at this time.
You read my mind, sir.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I have reviewed the plan, and from a legal perspective, I have no concerns.
Thank you. Ms. Coverley.
So I want to thank Julie and Penny for doing this. It's fantastic what you're doing for our county. But I'd like to know the financial side. So since this is federal funding, I'd like just to make sure I'm informed. I'm saying how to request the money, how, like, you know, I'm saying all the works with it. So I just want to make sure I'm kept in it, Julie. Yeah, because I think you must have a password, I guess, to the link. But since it's federal, I'm assuming I'll probably have to go onto the federal website to actually request the funding. Do you know any of that part of it, or you don't?
Well, so normally when PWP applies for federal grants, you would go through grants.gov or, you know, similar federal application paths that I'm sure you are well aware of. But for some reason, this grant was a little different. You had to go in through a separate portal. You had to supply federal information, such as the UEI that we talked about. And then once we click submit in there, then it is unclear where it goes from there, although we're talking with Colorado State Forest Service.
Anywhere to put in the grant that I'm the financial contact part of it, so they can keep me in the loop to know that, so that I can request the funding if we are funded this grant?
I think we'll all be alerted if we are funded. And okay. Then if we are funded, then they would want to know who's their POC to work with to get all the paperwork rolling. And then absolutely, that would be you.
Okay.
I just offered to click the submit button because I've been in there pasting stuff.
I'm not going to make, yeah, of course.
You. But after that, it's not like, you know, I'm the main POC, but we are like a co-applicant or helper on it.
I appreciate all the work that you've done. Thank you for that. But I did on my side for my audit, I like just to make sure I'm kept in the loop, okay?
Oh, trust me. I know that well. So yes, okay. Absolutely.
Thank you.
And along with that, Mr. Richards, any information for Finance Director Coverley to complete all the reports? I mean, it's going to be the communication going from whomever. So thank you for that. Commissioner Tony Haas, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment to the Primero students and just thank Mr. Richards and Mr. Dornkamp for getting me the hazard mitigation plan. The Landon, let's see, Logan Gates from Primero was the one that had requested that hazard mitigation plan. He's the 10th grade teacher there at Primero. And so I just did distribute that to him and extended the invite to show up on Tuesday for our Board of County Commissioners meeting. And I believe he's going to be there. So
he's here, Tony.
Yeah, good. Super. Well, we had some dialogue. And the other one was Tevin. Is Tevin there? Vanderplatt?
No, he's not. He's at school still.
He was another one that had shown an interest in the hazard mitigation plan. So look forward to meeting all of you.
Yes.
Okay, one last call for any additional questions, any additional information. And if there are no questions at this time, I am going to...
Sorry, I did have one quick point. Regarding the updating of the plan, Penny can weigh in on this for sure, but I do think for the same reasons that if your plan is more than 10 years old, they won't fund you to update it. if a plan went 10 years and was not updated, they may not give us funding to implement the work in the plan either. And I don't know if Penny knows that for sure, but it's not just, oh, whoops, we forgot to review it again this year. I do think it would could have significant financial implications if we don't stay on top of those updates.
Right. You're not eligible to apply. The first question they ask you is your CWPP less than 10 years old? If you say no, then the end. You're no
longer. You have to start all over.
Well, you can't apply for any funding.
Yep. Thanks. That's all I had.
Thank you. Well, fellow commissioners, the task at hand is at this time, no other questions, no more conversation. I am going to entertain a motion since legal counsel has reviewed. And once again, with a very, very sincere gesture of appreciation, thank you for all the work that went into this plan. And as the motion that I'm requesting is either up or down, so I'll entertain a motion at this time.
Chairman, at this time, I'll make a motion to approve the consideration of Colorado Wildfire Prevention Program grant application.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
A resounding yes. Thank you so much to all of you and students. I'm looking forward to engaging in additional conversation. Having no other business at hand at this time, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second the motion.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Felix Lopez?
Yes. Thank you all and have a great afternoon and a great weekend.
Thank you all very much.